What is up, everybody? Welcome to another Tuesday night edition of Drive for Show DFS for Doe here on Roto Grinders, talking golf as usual. When you see both Notorious and myself, STL Cardinals 84 on the air, you know we are talking golf. Had a lot of you watching live last week. Hope a lot of you are tuning in again. Had fun with the Players Championship and a busy golf schedule here over the next few months. So we'll keep you company every week for that. A little bit of a letdown factor, you might say, with the event this week, but still plenty of money to be won out there for the Valspar Championship. And we'll take a quick look back at last week as well. So again, I am Justin, STL Cardinals 84. I've got Derek Notorious Farnsworth alongside. And Noto, how you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Happy March Madness week, everyone. Should be a really fun week. Players, man, a little stressful on Sunday. Had an outright on Xander. That didn't go as planned, but fantastic finish to the event. That was a lot of fun to watch there the last hour or so.
Yeah, pretty crazy. You think going into Sunday that, you know, maybe Scheffler's too far back, doesn't really have a shot. And then you know, he proves that he's always in the mix with the hot round and ended up fending off, I believe, three players one shot back. So pretty incredible tournament there. I think, you know, that was needed there for the PGA Tour to have a high profile event be, you know, competitive and close on Sunday. And we got it. And I think the first time in a long time that we've had the, I forget who tweeted this out, but the same winner and one of the same runner up in Scheffler and Wyndham Clark 2 weeks in a row on the PGA Tour. So I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad that Scheffler's not playing this week and we get a week where, you know, we don't have to just have that be half the battle.
Yeah, I mean, now that he, you know, learned how to putt, you got the happy learned how to putt, watch out. So yeah, I mean, he's been on fire. He's kind of still hitting the ball like peak Tiger. And now he's kind of got that feeling where if he's in the mix and he's, you know, making a charge, everyone else kind of feels it. Sees him on the leaderboard. I think, you know, a couple people mentioned that on Sunday. Xander mentioned it. Wyndham Clark said, oh, here we go again. When he saw, you know, Scheffler making his run up the leaderboard. So you're kind of getting those Tiger vibes where if he's in the mix, he's more scary than he was when he wasn't making putts. And he's one of those golfers that just doesn't miss, doesn't hit any bad shots. You know, he's hitting it to the right side of the greens. He's missing on the right side of the holes off the tee. And that's pretty scary heading into major season. So, yeah, it's good to see, you know, PGA Tour's superstar win a couple of events after a very lackluster start to the year.
Yeah, absolutely. So he ends up holding off that trio of Schauffele, the aforementioned Wyndham Clark and Brian Harman, who were all one shot back. Matthew Fitzpatrick, solo fifth, his best finish in a while at 16 under. Saw Aubert, Matsuyama, Tigala, McNealy all up inside the top 10 as well. So relatively speaking, the higher end guys on the PGA Tour these days were, you know, some of the guys that were in the mix there come the end of the week. We saw, you know, a few bigger names miss the cut. Justin Thomas missed the cut last week at one over par. So he missed by a couple of strokes. Not a whole lot of guys that missed on the number. It really wasn't the biggest kind of cut sweat week compared to what we've seen maybe for some of the other events. Of course, Tom Kim was a withdraw right at the start of the day on Thursday. I know that burned a few people, but any other takeaways for you last week?
Man, the JT miscut was pretty brutal. He was kind of making a charge back towards the cut line on Friday, hit it to 4 feet and three putted. I had to like triple check the shot length just to make sure he actually three putted from 4 feet, and then the next hole he hit it to 5 feet and missed it. So that was kind of frustrating. And then obviously Xander was frustrating too down at the stretch. I thought he was out of it, then he birdied 16, then he hit one of the better shots of the day on 17, missed a 6-footer because that's what Xander does. You know, I deserve everything for betting him outright, but yeah, didn't have a great week of DFS. Had a lot of Thomas, had a lot of some of the other guys that missed the cut. How did you do DFS-wise?
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest week for me either. So I was pretty much even with the field on Scheffler, but didn't have a whole lot of exposure to a lot of the other guys at the top. You know, maybe some of the guys that hadn't been playing super well. I had quite a bit of Benny on. He missed the cut. Henley missed the cut. So, you know, those were a couple guys that maybe were around 10% owned that I was overweight on. And just, yeah, didn't have one that that came together. Had a couple of decent five of sixes, but and one with Scheffler and McNeely, who was also inside the top 10. But tough to win anything when the chalk guy wins the tournament and you don't have a six of six. I was just looking at the, like, the $5, the winning lineup in the $5. Let's see. I'll just read it off here. So it was Scheffler, who was first, Harmon T2, SH Kim, or Siwoo Kim, sorry, wrong S Kim. Siwoo Kim at T6, Connors at T13, Ryder at T16, and Noren at T19. So the GPP winners, all six guys in the top 20, pretty much took one of the better lineups you could construct. Second place was a first, two of the runner-ups, 13th, 16th, and 31st. So it took a big lineup to win the big GPPs last week. I didn't have any of those. So we will see if we can have a little bit better fortune this week. And while I'm thinking about it, I wanted to pull up the snake draft from last week as well, if I can, to recognize who finished on top.
Did you happen to see the driver thing with Matt Fitzpatrick?
I did not.
So apparently they were doing some testing last year and they put an extra 0.9 grams of weight into the grip on his driver and they forgot to take it out. And apparently he's felt like his swing's been off ever since. And they finally figured out what was wrong with it. So now he feels like he's playing swinging good again. So maybe that's, we could throw out the last, 6 months.
Interesting. All right. So last week's snake draft, we did a 12-man. Gasman seems to be the top all-time money winner in these. I got the victory. T Lang in second. Noto comes up with the third cash spot last week and 4 points ahead of me. So I was the first runner up there in fourth place. So we'll see if we can run that back. Probably not doing a 12-man this week in this field, but we'll see if we can run a 6-man at the end of the show for those of you who want to partake. So, all right, let's move on to a new week. Valspar Championship at Copperhead Innisbrook Resort this week has been kind of a tournament the last few years that seems to kind of get lost in the shuffle on the calendar, comes after the Players, doesn't get a great field, and a really tough course. Probably the toughest course that we've seen at least for a good couple of months here. What are we looking at for a venue this week?
Yeah, so we have the Copperhead course at Innisbrook Resort. It's one of those courses where any type of player can contend. It is the last, leg of the Florida stretch, but it doesn't play like a Florida course. It plays more like a course that's in South Carolina. It is tree-lined. The fairways are very narrow. There is water in play on 9 of the holes, but there's a lot of elevation changes as well. So I'm not necessarily looking at other Florida courses for comps here. But, yeah, look at the average driving distance from last year. It was 280 yards, which is well below the PGA Tour average. And the green regulation rate was only 55%. So these guys are going to have a tough time hitting greens in regulation. I think that places a pretty big emphasis on driving accuracy, on strokes gained approach, and then strokes gained around the green. We have seen, a couple repeat winners here. Paul Casey did it. Sam Burns did it. Although the rest of the course history hasn't been all that predictive. So I'm not weighing that too heavily, but it does seem like, golfers that really like this course tend to play it every year and tend to have a lot of success here. But yeah, for the most part, I'm looking for, accuracy over distance. Maybe total driving is probably your best bet off the tee. And then good iron play, especially with the long irons. We saw over 50% of approach shots last year from at least 175 yards. So you're going to get a lot of those, mid to long irons, not a lot of wedge shots like we saw last week. And yeah, that should just about do it for me. It's usually one of the top 10 most difficult courses on tour, but a lot of that has to do with the wind and how firm the course is. So we'll see what that looks like, come Thursday morning. But what else are you looking at?
Yeah, if you look right now at the forecast, it's calling for 20-mile-an-hour winds both Saturday and Sunday. So it could get a little bit hectic heading to the weekend. So I do like the accurate guys this week. Good drive percentage, total driving, I think, has some value. The rough is pretty thick here. So obviously you got to be pretty good at everything to succeed on a tough course, but for sure the tee to green play is paramount this week. Maybe you could look at bogey avoidance as well, but I like guys with that good total driving this week, I think, is a metric that I'm looking at quite a bit, particularly if it's going to get pretty breezy come the weekend. So much weaker field, as I mentioned, from what we've seen the last few weeks. We're down to just four golfers above 10K this week on DraftKings. And that starts with Xander coming off the runner-up finish, Sam Burns, JT, Jordan Spieth. I mean, a question that everyone always asks after a big tournament, are you concerned about, you know, a letdown? Are these guys going to, you know, be worried about, or not worried, but be fatigued after, you know, last week's event? Thomas only played two rounds, and it's not like you're traveling across country here. We're still in Florida. So to me, I think the fatigue angle from last week is, I mean, it's almost a non-issue. Maybe makes it me more interested in some of these guys if, you know, ownership is going to be a question. But your thoughts on the fatigue angle and the four guys at the top this week?
Yeah, I would love to see some type of data analysis on, you know, golfers that were in contention at majors and big events and how they fared the very next week, because the natural instinct is for us to fade the guys because, you know, they, you know, went through a lot of stress, didn't get the job done, probably aren't feeling all that great heading into the week. They were probably, you know, mentally tired, physically exhausted. So, yeah, I would love to see some data on that. Like you said,
I mean, it's not like they went out and ran a marathon, right?
Oh, yeah, but I mean,
you played golf and now you got 3 days off and you're staying in the same state. You didn't even have to get on a plane.
Yeah, but I mean, that would have been Xander's biggest win of his entire career. He was,
I can see it for, yeah, I mean, I can see it for him, I think.
Yeah,
you know, but
I mean, no, I don't think anybody that wasn't in contention you have to worry about that for, but just maybe Harmon, maybe Xander. I don't know. This is all, you know, anecdotal stuff that we don't really know how to apply. But so you kind of just take your pick on what you want to do. I mean, Xander at 40%, I don't mind coming underweight on that. I liked him a lot last week. I think he's, you know, certainly a fine course fit. He's got four top tens already this year, so nothing bad to say about him. But it's got to be a little bit of a letdown after having the lead all day Sunday until the 14th hole and then having a chance at the end and not getting it done. So my favorite plays, I like Sam Burns. He's been playing well this year. He's won here twice, five straight top 30s here. Then I like JT. If you look at his numbers from last week, he missed the cut, but he gained 4.7 strokes on approach. It was all putting. I think he's a really strong option. And I think you get a nice little ownership discount from Xander up top. What are you doing up here?
Yeah, that ownership number does surprise me a bit on him, on Xander. I think he's certainly the top, you know, starting point for cash games, but don't mind the pivot. I like Thomas. I mean, only played two rounds last week. Some people might be a little bit scared off. The metrics, you know, over the last 2-3 months are still very positive. Weak field and top 15 finishes the last three times he's played here. So, I think Burns is fine as well. But I like Thomas as probably the guy I'll certainly be the most overweight on in this group, which kind of feels like it's been a theme for me this year, not necessarily intentionally, but yeah, I like Thomas.
What about Spieth? He never projects well for me.
You never want to say that to me because you're not going to get a different opinion.
Well, he projects well this week. I'm tempted to be more interested, but his starts aren't that great this year. He's had some high finishes, but he's lost on approach in six of his last nine. And this is kind of one of those courses where you got to be good with their irons. But I mean, the short game could definitely save him. If everyone's missing greens, especially on those windy days, I could see Spieth playing well here.
Yeah, can't be fluffing it all over the place around here for sure. Oh, so
speaking of that, did you see Wyndham Clark again?
This guy is going to become the next Patrick Reed.
Did you see it? He was like standing on where he was going to drop the ball for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, a little sus, as they say. It's where there's smoke, there's fire. After so many times, you'd think he'd maybe calm it down a little bit. But
then we had Rory too. Did you see Jonathan?
That was really interesting. And that was like Thursday, right? With the drop. I mean, it, I don't understand the golf rules. We've talked about this before. The golf rules on drops are strange, and you know, you're trying to figure out where something crossed a certain point while it's, you know, in the air. It's just so, it's so weird to me. And then the whole thing with, I think it was Ekrod on Sunday, because his ball didn't drop in 10 seconds. I mean, some of these rules just gotta, you gotta figure it out. I don't know if you saw that, but he got a stroke added because a putt was hanging on for like 20 seconds. And then it finally dropped, and then they added a stroke to his score afterwards. Well, I just make things up, write whatever down. That's what I do when I play anyway.
My favorite part was, did you see the Johnson Wagner breakdown on Rory's drop?
Yes.
He's just out there chucking balls as hard as he can, seeing what happens.
Oh, I mean, man. I would never be able to say anything definitive. I have a hard enough time tracking the golf ball in flight, let alone, I mean, when I'm hitting it like 160 yards with a driver, let alone, you know, somebody hitting it, you know, 300 plus or, you know, 200 with an iron. It's just crazy. But I don't envy the task of guys, you know, happen to make those decisions without, you know, rules people intervening. But also, we know that a lot of you have been watching on Twitter the last few weeks. If you're interested, you can also hop over to the Roto Grinders YouTube channel. We stream the videos live on there every week as well. You can subscribe to the channel. You can give us a thumbs up. We very much appreciate that. If you're watching us on Twitter, you can also catch us on YouTube at Roto Grinders. So, all right, let's move down into the next range. Mentioned maybe being a little bit concerned about Harmon after the near miss last week. We've got Cam Young. Didn't really play super well last week. Did make another cut, but finished outside the top 50. Sungjae, Finau, Nick Taylor, recent winner, Minwoo Lee. Those are your 9K options this week. And really, I don't think that this range is all that great. I mean, you know, Nick Taylor's been playing really well, but I don't think I can pay 9,100 for Nick Taylor. Finau and Sungjae Im haven't been playing that well. Like, is there a standout option in this 9K range for you?
Well, if we don't factor in the, you know, second place finish last week, I think Harmon's the best play here. Good course fit. He's played well here in the past, has a fifth place finish in 2022. If you look at his numbers the last couple of weeks, he's just been striping the ball. He's gained 14.6 strokes on approach during those two outings. So he'd be my favorite. But, I mean, Cam Young and Tony Finau both don't necessarily fit the course that well, but they've been really good with their irons lately. So if either one could have a good week with the short game, it's kind of asking a lot. Young's been really bad on and around the greens, but I think both of them have some upside. And then Sungjae, I think he's just finally starting to play a little bit better. But to your point, I don't think you have to force anyone in the 9Ks into your lineups. I think you start above 10 and then dip into the 8s.
Yeah, I think Sungjae is really interesting. I'm keeping an eye on his ownership. I put him in my GPP article this week. And look, you're not doing it off of kind of the near term, the, you know, 24, 36 round stats. Like if you look at those, Sungjae isn't going to pop. But I think with how weak this field is and this pricing range, not having a, you know, a complete standout play right now, we got Finau at 20%. We got Harmon at 26. You know, I think Sungjae could be interesting, particularly if his ownership projection gets down closer to 10. We got Taylor at 17 as well. I don't love those guys at those numbers. So, all right. Anything else on that range? I will be probably underweight on the 9Ks as a whole.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Minwoo Lee, I don't know what course fits him anymore. He plays well some places, not other places. So I think just keep him in your MME player pool because he's going to pop randomly. But that's about it for me in the 9s.
All right, go down into the next range, the 8K range. Look, it seems weird to me that when you, I mean, we've got guys like Zudenhout, Eric Cole, Keegan Bradley, Aaron Rye, you know, Adam Hadwin. Like, this is just a weaker field, so it's going to look a little bit, especially compared to the last 2-3 weeks, this is going to look a little uncomfortable. But I never thought I'd say this, but you can make a case with the way he's playing and at $8,400 that Doug Gim is probably the first player you should put in cash games this week, which is really strange because, you know, I've kind of been the Doug Gim guy throughout. And if you would have told me 3 months ago that Doug Gim would be a lock at 8,400, I would have looked at you with crazy eyes. I mean, that's Doug Gim's just been playing really good golf. Five straight, 16th or better. Another T16 last week, was in the mix there on the weekend, faded just a tad on Sunday, but again, still finished T16. So back-to-back T16s, T8, T12, T13. Going back to January, and he's only 8,400. Like, I think you could put Doug Gim where Nick Taylor and Minwoo Lee are price-wise, and I wouldn't have been surprised. So Doug Gim chalk feels strange, but he just keeps getting the job done.
Yeah, my model definitely agrees with you. When I first ran it, he was fifth in the model ahead of JT, and then I adjusted some weights. Now he's sixth in the model. And he is the 16th most expensive on DraftKings, the 21st most expensive on FanDuel. So definitely a good value there. And if you look at the RotoGrinders projections, he's the top point per dollar guy. I think he's the top point per dollar guy in my ratings as well. Anybody that uses any stat engines is going to see the 21 strokes ball striking over his last five events. It's hard not to like him. So I'm going to be overweight, but I do think it's going to be higher than 21% by lineup lock.
Joshua Johnson, with one of the better comments I've ever seen in the YouTube chat, says that apparently he usually watches us on playback and watches us on enhanced speed. So he said, can you guys maybe try and talk at 1.5x so it feels right? So if we got to talk a little bit faster here so that your your feed sounds pretty good. That made me chuckle. So
I can't do my podcast at 1.5. Can you?
Yeah, I can.
You can?
Yeah.
I've never like been able to make it through a whole one. So maybe once you get used to it, but it just makes the people sound like so much higher voice.
So here's the, so do it at like 2x for like 5 minutes, and then the 1.5 will sound, the 1.5 will sound fine. But yeah, because it's weird. I'll watch some stuff on 1.5, and then if I go back, I'm like, why are they talking so slow? It is once you get used to it. But yeah, I can do 1.5. Not that I make a habit out of doing it or anything, but go back and watch this show afterwards at 1.5 and see how you sound. Maybe don't do that. If you're trying to get into it, don't do it on your own video, or you really won't want to do it. But
I first saw the comment, and I thought he was just saying we're talking really slow.
No, like, I picked up on it, right? At least I don't think so. He replied with a laugh. So that's, he usually watches us at 1.5x. That's fine. It's fine. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Everybody's got stuff to do. We understand. All right. So outside of Gim, what do we like in the 8Ks here? McNeely's been playing really well. Was in the mix last week. Also, he's made like six cuts in a row. You got Hostler in here. You know, he's good outside of Texas these days. Anybody else you got conviction on in this range?
Not really. I do like Eric Cole. I think I'm going to go broke soon if he doesn't start playing better, because after just a stretch of top 20s for, you know, 12 months, he's missed two of the last three cuts. But yeah, I think it's a good course fit for him. You just got to keep it in the fairway. One of those guys that's good on approach, good around the green, good putter. Outside of that, not much. Aaron Rye's been really good with the ball striking recently, and you know, it's his first time here, so I think that could help keep ownership down. Cbez, so you know, I'm like a Cbez truther, really like the guy, always cheering for him, always play him. But I was looking at his total driving numbers, he's like the third worst in this field. Like, that's really bad with how many bad golfers there are in this field,
yeah. Yeah, so it's a week where it's probably not going to be as difficult to narrow down your player pool. I think McNeely's my next guy in here that I like. Any interest in your boy Patrick Rogers this week? He's kind of been all over the place lately.
Yeah, he's been all over the place. Hadwin has too. If you look at his numbers from this year, it's either top 10 or missed cut, which is sort of interesting. So I don't know. I'm kind of tempted to just play two guys in the 10Ks and then dip down, you know, play maybe Gim with them and then go to the sixes and sevens. I think that might be my single entry approach this week.
Don't hate that at all. Gim is certainly going to be the play of the week in this range, given that salary and the way he's been playing. Taylor Moore's made all seven cuts this year, but he has no top 20s out of seven made cuts. Make of that what you will. As we head into the 7K range, Olsson is grading out pretty good in projections. Andrew Putnam is maybe a safe guy in here at 7,700. Feels like Sam Ryder's probably going to get some steam with the back-to-back top 25s. And he had a little bit of ownership last week as well. Shout out to my guy, Ryan Fox, who went Eagle Ace last week and then still missed the cut. So I was tilting not having Ryan Fox last week after he went Eagle Ace on Thursday on 16 and 17. And then he shot a 76 on Friday and missed the cut. But we've got Lucas Glover in here. Daniel Berger maybe stands out with that price. Anything you like, particularly in the 7Ks?
Yeah, shout out to Fox. I made a bet on FanDuel. They had a promo for hole-in-one on number 17. I think it was like plus 200 or something.
So at any point during the week?
At any point, it was boosted. And yeah, you got that out of the way early. So that was kind of nice. That was one of my only bets to cash.
Is that the only one?
That's the only one I can remember.
Yeah, I think it was the only one.
But as far as this range, I do like Glover a lot. He's been, you know, really good ball striking, and he's gained around the green in six of his last seven. He's usually pretty bad around the green, but he's been pretty good there. The putter's kind of gone cold lately, but we've seen him get hot with the flat sticks, so I'll play him. Ryder, man, I had Ryder and Gim in my main lineup last week. The two cheapest guys in my lineup both crushed, and then it just got blown up by Henley and Thomas and some of the other guys, but I like him again this week. He's gained on approach in 13 of his last 14. So just really good iron player in the top of the range. You mentioned Putnam being safe, but man, him and this course do not get along. I think he's missed all four of his cuts here, which is a little strange. It seems like he should like this place quite a bit. I like Todd. I always like Todd on these shorter courses. And then I might play some Berger. Do you have any takes on Berger?
Yeah, I think at that price in this field, I mean, he's certainly more talented than a lot of guys that are here. I mean, obviously, it's concerning that he played at the Puerto Rico Open and missed the cut last week. But at 7,200 in a weak field, I think he's a good kind of GPP risk reward option. I'm okay with that, especially because I think anybody that's looking in this range, I think you're going to get some people that go to Schenk at 7,100. Yeah, I like the Glover call, and I think Berger's definitely fine for tournaments.
Yep. Sorry, did you mention Schenk?
I just did. I just said, I think, yeah, a lot of people that are maybe looking for a safer play there, that they're probably going to go to Schenk.
Yeah, he had a great Sunday round at the Players, and if you remember here last year, he had the lead pretty much all Sunday on the back nine, and then hit it in the trees. He had to like hit it off of a tree root or something. He drove it way left on 18 and chipped it out to the fairway. Almost got up and down to force a playoff. He's been solid. I like Schenk quite a bit, but I do think he might be the popular safe option, like you mentioned.
All right. That's about it for the 7Ks as we go down to the value range. I think, you know, the 6K range is at least intriguing. We got some options this week. It starts with Victor Perez, who I like quite a bit. He's gone three straight made cuts and a T3 in Puerto Rico last week. This is a guy that's, you know, he's always been a little bit inconsistent, but maybe finally starting to put things together at the PGA Tour level. You know, we saw Andrew Novak with three top tens in a row before taking a step back last week. Svensson has pretty good career numbers in windy conditions, although he's been playing terrible golf lately. I mean, these are guys in the 6Ks that you can at least make a case for. And then I've bought into the story with Bud Cauley coming back from, when he first came back, I just kind of briefly mentioned that he was in the field a few weeks back. Well, he's made both cuts since he's come back and, you know, coming back from injury. I had to look this up because I know you mentioned it, that he was in a car accident, and that, you know, it rung a bell for my memory. But what I didn't know was it wasn't the car accident itself that took Bud Cauley off the golf course. So the car accident was in 2018, and he got six broken ribs, a broken leg, and a collapsed lung. But then he came back from that and played for like a year, 2 years almost, after the car accident, but then discovered that you know, out of nowhere, he started getting pain again in his right side. And then they had to do surgery. The surgery didn't go well. Then his incision opened up and he got an infection and just all sorts of problems from the surgery. I didn't know that it wasn't directly after the car accident. It was a couple years later that he ended up having the additional problems, complications from that. And then he didn't play for like over 3 years. And now he's back on the PGA Tour, made a couple cuts. And, you know, he's 6,400 in a pretty weak field. And this was a guy that was, you know, approaching kind of top 50-ish status before everything kind of hit the fan there. So I'm disappointed that his ownership looks to be, I mean, I'm not the only one, it seems like, that's kind of on him. But, yeah, so Cauley at 6,400, Victor Perez at 6,900. Maybe a sprinkle on somebody else in there, a Novak, a Svensson, or, you know, you're going to have some risk reward guys, Bjork maybe. But who do you like in the 6Ks?
Yeah, you just mentioned him. Love Bjork this week. So he hasn't been very good on the PGA Tour so far. But if you look at his numbers on the DP World Tour last year, top 10 in driving accuracy, top 10 in approach play, pretty good around the green, pretty good putter. He just contended so many times on shorter courses, and this isn't a course where you have to hit it very far off the tee. So I think it's a perfect setup for him. He's just got to get his footing on the PGA Tour, and I think he can go on a nice little run. So I like him at 64. Don't mind Cauley. Don't mind Perez. If you look at last week's numbers, Joel Damon was third in the field in strokes gained tee to green, and he's 3 for 3 here in his career. So I kind of like him a little bit. He tends to be a streaky golfer, especially with the ball striking. And then Grayson Sigs made a couple cuts here. See if there's anyone else.
Somebody in the YouTube is asking about Michael Kim at 6K.
I don't think Michael Kim's in the field. Maybe SH Kim? Chan Kim? Michael Kim is in the field, yeah.
Yeah, he's
Yeah, I mean, Chan Kim rate that a little bit better for me, but I mean, I don't hate Michael Kim. He has shown a lot of upside, so seems like a decent course fit.
6K is pretty cheap for him. Aaron Wise is back, too. He's at 5,900, not ready to go there just yet, but good to see him back on the PGA Tour, and he leads off kind of that 5K punt range where – you know, we saw some playable guys there last week. This week in a yucky field, a little bit less in terms of playable guys in the 5K range. Is there anybody you feel okay with down here?
So kind of a funny story. This 5K range actually made me revamp my model a little bit because there were like five of them that were projecting like his top 20 plays in the field. And I couldn't figure it out. So I was looking at their rounds and it was just a sample size issue. They just had only played like 8 rounds on the PGA Tour and, you know, they had great approach numbers that week or whatever it may be. So they were really popping. But so I ended up having to go through and, you know, put a cap on how many rounds it took in order to count towards their projection. But in terms of the 5K guys, I don't love a lot here. Parker Cootie, Lindheim, I talked him up a little bit during the swing season. I think he is at least a little bit interesting. He hasn't been very good this season so far, this year so far. Zach Blair's been making a lot of cuts. He's number one in Data Golf's course fit.
He's a short hitter.
Yeah, he's number one in their course fit tool. So if you want to look there. And two other guys I didn't mention in the 6Ks, Ben Silverman's been playing well, lives in Florida now. And Dylan Wu, coming off of a top 20 of the Players, made the cut here last year.
All right. Don't mind some of those guys as late round or late pick flyers. I'm already getting into snake draft mode here. If you are looking for a value play to fit all the top end guys into your lineups.
So I know you don't pay attention to NBA much, but guess the score of the Hornets Magic game. 2 minutes left in the second quarter.
Ooh, this is tricky. So either A, it's like super high scoring. Super high scoring, super low scoring, or a blowout. Those are our three options as to why you'd be bringing this up. Now, I know scoring has been down lately. I did hear that. So I'm gonna go for blowout here. Something like a 68-30 type of game.
Wow, You got the differential correct. 26 to 67 now. Okay, wow. It's
getting 67 worse. To 26?
Yeah,
down 41. Hey, that's pretty good. I hadn't even pulled up the scoreboard tonight. So that's called a game where you hope you didn't buy tickets if you are either a fan of either team. I suppose if you're, looks like, okay, the Magic are at home. So at least if you're rooting for the home team, you can win.
That was a great guess.
Thank you. Go buy a lottery ticket tonight or something. Win that, and then I don't have to do taxes anymore. We'll see. All right. It is the time of the show where we usually do a snake draft. People are just throwing out like every 5K name imaginable. Justin Lower, Wierinski, Parker Cootie. Be careful with how many darts you're throwing down there. But anyway, we usually do a snake draft at the end of the show. So those of you who don't want to stick around and partake or follow, feel free to exit. But again, a couple reminders before we do that. I talked about this last week, but you can check out the new rabbit hole tool at BetSports Golf. So we're partnering with them for some golf content. I kind of went through a little demo of that last week, but the pricing on that's going to go up the week right after the Masters. So get in on the ground floor, get in a little bit cheaper, betsportsgolf.com. And we've got a link in the description of that. But again, it's basically a customizable, filterable list of basically any stat you want to see over whatever time period you want to see. And you can create a little custom mixed condition model on there as well. And that's where you'll see, guys like Doug Gim popping in some of those models this week. So check that out. Again, check out our content on Roto Grinders and on our Roto Grinders YouTube channel. Leave this video a thumbs up. We'd appreciate that very much.